the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Angus Ketchod. We are here with another Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Got one of our platinum-level sponsors in the room again, Wade Givens with FBN. How you doing, Wade?
I'm doing all right, Angus.
Man, I remember a long time ago, back when you were at Mississippi State, we were doing a lot of precision ag stuff, and man, that stuff was so far over my head. I remember you out there working at getting all that going. I mean, I remember you used to blow my mind with your knowledge of precision ag and how to hook the RTKs and all of that crazy stuff up. I don't know if you remember that. It's been probably 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
those are good times.
You still doing anything with precision ag?
I am. I'm doing more agronomy now, but you know, those two subjects are getting to be so intertwined that you can't have one without the other anymore.
Well, I remember your expertise, and it was so far above me, it was unbelievable. So tell me a little bit about FBN. What is it? Give us some background.
So FBN is Farmers Business Network, and we started about 4 or 5 years ago with the idea to put farmers first and to bring price transparency to the market so farmers understood where they were getting their inputs and what they were paying for it. So right now we've branched into several areas. So we have our FBN direct store where farmers can go on, they can compare prices for chemical, fertilizers, other inputs. And last year, or 2 years ago, we launched our genetic line, our F2N genetics. So that started with mostly conventional soybeans and corn, but now we've got the Roundup Ready 1 traded products as well as some double and triple stacks.
Yeah, so hey, this is Darren Dodds on here as well. And, you know, it's funny, Angus, you talked about those days so long ago with Wade doing the precision ag. If I remember days in the Mississippi Delta with Wade, we were box mapping cotton and trying to figure out what was going on with these plants and all. And, you know, if y'all have ever seen the old Johnny Jenkins money tree from all those years ago, that's how he did it, if you don't know what box mapping is. But I remember sweating in the Mississippi Delta all them years ago doing some box mapping. And, you know, we always talk about how ag's such a small world and a family and all that stuff. And this is just another example of that. You know, Wade, born and raised in Natchez, Mississippi, and has kind of moved around the upper Midwest and even part of the East Coast. And now he's right back here in Starkville where he got most of his education at the Row Crop Short Course. It's good to have you, Wade. You know, I guess when you think about FBN, a little bit of a new concept, if you will. You know, and most people probably know most of what FBN, and you just covered a little bit kind of the farmer direct thing and price comparison and all that. But what about some of the other services that y'all may be able to give to some of the growers that are out there?
Yes, Darren. So really, I like to think of it as a digital cooperative. So getting back to the original idea of the farm cooperative. So our growers, they pay a yearly membership fee, which is the same no matter if you farm 50 acres or 5,000 acres. And like I said, we touched on the input side, the seed side, but we also offer grain marketing and buying services. One of the most exciting things we rolled out this year was group health care insurance. And I can remember farming, that was really a big deal, you know, for our family to be able to afford health insurance. So bringing, you know, the power of a group health insurance to farmers, and we're saving farmers thousands of dollars a year in premiums. And we also have some services around the organic market as well. So we're really branching out in what we're doing and trying to bring, you know, increase farmer ROI on their operations.
That's interesting. I guess I didn't realize the group health insurance thing. When you just said that, it made me think about one of our speakers yesterday. We had a guy from Minnesota talking about, you know, a lot of the issues with mental health and farmers. And one of the things, you know, the actually suicides and a lot of stuff. There's a lot of debt, you know, and there's a lot weighing on farmers. But one of the things that he talked a lot about yesterday, which was really interesting, was how many spouses work outside of the home on farmers just to get health insurance. So when you said that, I mean, that kind of rung a bell a little bit. That's actually an interesting concept.
Yeah, in fact, I was talking to a lady yesterday after I gave my industry update, and she hunted me down in the hallway, and she was working a part-time at a school just for that reason, for the health care.
Huh, man, that's really interesting. You know, I'll shift gears a little bit. You know, so the short course started a long time ago, 1983, and was just cotton in those days and progressed as just cotton. until about 2008, after which time we kind of do the row crop format now, and we've really just seen our attendance go crazy. We had 750 people through the door the last couple of days. And I think I try to think about this from a sponsor's perspective, and FBN's a first-year sponsor for us, and they came in, y'all came in with us at a platinum level, which is one of our highest-level sponsors out there. So I guess maybe, Wade, tell us a little bit about what attracted you and FBN to be a part of our row crop short course here at Mississippi State.
Well, FBN started as a Midwest startup, like so many of these ag companies do. So it was exciting for me to come on because there was a need for a Southern agronomist. And so I support five account managers here in the Southeast. And so it was, you know, like I said, to me, in my mind, this is a premier event in the Mid-South. And to be able to show up and say, hey, you know, we're here to help and bring the concept of FBN to the Mid and Deep South. So it was important for us to come here.
Well, let me tell you, Wade, so, you know, you mentioned help, and I love that term. I tell you one thing y'all helped with and all the sponsors have helped with, if for those that have not been to our event or maybe out there listening to this podcast, you know, last night we cooked 650 ribeyes and 375 pounds of shrimp, and we do all that totally free of charge to anybody that wants to come to this event. And the only way that we do that is because of people like FBN and many, many others that help us do this. If it wasn't for that support, there's no way we could conduct this event in the manner that we do. So I guess what I'm trying to say with all that is thank you and thank to all of our sponsors for all of that, because it's, I'm telling you, we go out of our way to make this thing as first class as humanly possible.
It was our pleasure.
So Wade, while, you know, we got about, you know, just a few minutes left mm-hmm. here, is there any specific products that you might want to talk about, anything you want to throw in from an FBM standpoint that you might want to mention?
Yeah, so as we move into the Mid-South, of course, our disease pressure is different. You know, our below-ground pest problem and pressure isn't what it, you know, can be in the Midwest and upper Midwest. So, you know, you being an entomologist, Angus, you know, I'd like to kind of talk about insect control, above ground insect control with a conventional corn or just a Roundup Ready corn variety. You know, is it possible? You know,
yeah.
What does that look like, and potentially what would that cost a grower?
Well, yeah, you're definitely, you know, in my wheelhouse now. I mean, that's what we do every day. Yeah, we, you know, the conventional corn, you know, we face in the South, we got a lot of pest issues, temperate climate and so forth. It's a series of things. We start at the whole, you know, soil insect complex, move into stink bugs during the whorl stage, move into some other things later, Southwestern and European corn borers, mainly Southwestern, you mm-hmm. know, is a bigger, much bigger deal for us later in the year. But, you know, those are the things that are our primary targets. Of course, you could probably throw corn earworm in there to some effect, because what they're doing is they're actually providing all the corn earworms that are going to wind up in our cotton down the road.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's our major concerns that we've dealt with in the South.
So as far as earworm feeding, is how much of a financial impact would you say that is on an actual corn?
So
is it more cosmetic, or is it?
It's more cosmetic on normal planted corn. And you know, I just talked about this in my talk here at the Row Crop Short Course. I mean, on normal planted corn, our data would suggest that we average about 9 to 11 damaged kernels per ear. We have not been able to show an economic impact from that on normal planted corn. We have to get somewhere between 40 and 60 kernels per ear to be able to show an economic impact. But again, corn for us is not so much about what's happening with the corn earworm in the corn crop itself. It's when they leave the corn, then they're going to move to soybeans and cotton. And that's where our big thing, because 90%+ of all corn earworms in the South funnel through corn, and that's what creates that population that finishes off or creates all of our problems in cotton and soybeans for the most part.
Right. So would you say the Mirror 162 and the BT trait are still effective technologies?
They are effective technologies, and they definitely keep corn earworm to a minimum. Of course, one of our big concerns about the VIP event in corn is the fact that if we funnel all bollworms through corn, that means we're selecting a large part of the population that eventually find their way to cotton. So that is a concern mm-hmm. that we're worried about. But as of now, I would say, yes, it's still very effective.
So being in the Midwest for the past several years, Angus, and coming back to God's country, so to speak, could you talk a little bit about a structured refuge in corn? Is it still a 50% structured refuge?
Well, 50% has been gone for a while. That was when we had the single traded stuff out there. When we moved into the two cryogene stack stuff, it went to a 20% structured refuge. Of course, in non-cotton growing areas, they can use refuge in a bag. Now, refuge in a bag compliance has not been great in the South with the structured refuge. So there's a lot of talk about the feasibility of refuge in a bag for the southern cotton growing areas, and that's being worked out now whether or not that's something we can do or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So Wade, look, we kind of been talking about a bunch of different things. We're kind of getting to where we're going to wrap this podcast. If there is one thing you kind of want to leave the listeners out there with, or kind of a parting shot, if you will, kind of what's one thing you'd like to maybe leave them with?
Darren, the one thing probably I'd like to leave listeners with is, you know, we do have a presence now here in the South, in the Mid-South. We do have an agronomist on board now, and one of the things we're proud of is to have an agronomy hotline where currently it's less than 24 hours that we get back to those people with those questions. And that number is 605-223-4224. And that goes into the system, and either myself or another agronomist will get back and we'll work with the account managers to help resolve those and answer any questions.
Well, fabulous, man. Great to have you. Got an alum sitting in here. That's always good. Good to see you again. Like
great
I said,
to be
I
back.
Remember the old days of working with you, and that's what this business is. It's just a bunch of friends, and we all, you know, come together, and I appreciate seeing you again, that's for sure. Hope to see you here next year.
I plan on it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Wade. Wade and I have been friends a long time. It's good to see you, Wade, here back on campus. And again, thank you and thank FBN for help supporting our event.
You bet.
Thank you.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.